your Bible in hand tonight, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What a blessing this evening and every service, the music, every message that I've been privileged to sit under has blessed me. And I'm grateful for it. There's so many reasons to treasure a week like this, a time like this, a Bible camp and conference. But for a traveling preacher like me, it's especially precious because I have to hear myself preach. All I do is preach revival meetings, basically. And I study the Word of God in my own life and spend time in it. But I'll tell you, the Lord has decreed preaching as a unique way that He ministers life to His people. And there's nothing like sitting under the preached Word of God. So these days are delightful to me because I have to preach on, I'm assigned some spots that I have to fill, and I do what I have to when those times come to do the best I can to seek the Lord. But man, to be able to sit and listen to the preached Word of God, there's nothing like it. There's no substitute for it. Even personal Bible study, there's still something about the preached Word that's uniquely different. God designed preaching. Man didn't think it up. God did that. God set this in motion. All right, you have your Bible open by now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with non-essentials, but I am so grateful to have been here, and thank you very much, Brother Danny, Brother Jimmy, Milldale Church, Camp Ministry, for allowing me to be part of it, and to every man of God who's preached, thank you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, my understanding of the inspiration of the Word of God, you correct me, preachers, if I'm wrong afterwards. Don't stand up in the middle of my message. Just take me aside later. But my understanding of the inspiration and the inerrancy of the Word of God requires me to exercise care in the handling of it. In other words, if God did indeed breathe this book into existence, if His Spirit so controlled the authors of the various parts of the Bible that literally we can say these are the very words of God Himself, then it is incumbent on me as a student and as a preacher of the Bible to pay strict attention to the wording of the Word. In other words, the words of the Scripture matter. And the particular words used of God must not be treated casually or regarded as insignificant. Why did God say it like this rather than like that? What's the importance of this specific turn of phrase? Why did He use this word and not another word? Those are the questions that occupy me as I study the Bible. Do you approach the Bible like that? Now, having said that, I admit to you tonight that I often find that I have completely overlooked the point of passages in the Word of God because I have unconsciously changed the words of the Word in my mind. Even while reading the words on the page, my preconceived ideas can cause me to reword what it plainly says, and suddenly I realized a few weeks ago that that is what had happened to me regarding the text that I've just read to you. This is hands down the most unusual message I've ever preached because I don't even have an outline. And I love outlines, especially when they all start with the same letter of the alphabet, like the Bible surely somewhere says that they should. But I really have just one point, so it's hard to make an outline when you just got a one-point message. I'm trying to one-up Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry said he had a two-point message today. I'm going to beat him tonight and have a one-point message. I want to make one point, and it's not going to take me long to do it. This is the end of a long and grueling camp meeting and Bible conference, and I'm not going to take much of your time tonight. I want to spend just a few moments devotionalizing with you, really. I want to share with you a devotional thought that the Lord has helped me with, blessed me with, out of the reading of this passage of Scripture in recent days. I want to say a couple of things by preliminary, and then I want to spend a moment mulling over what this must mean. When the Bible says that here's a man who was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Almost all conservative scholars believe that Paul was speaking of himself and his own experience, even though he used veiled and indirect language. I knew a man, he says, probably referencing what happened to him in Acts chapter 14 when he was stoned and left for dead. Many believe that's when this took place in his life. No one can say for sure. It seems reasonable to me. But whether it was Paul or someone that Paul knew personally, someone was taken of God beyond the realm of the mortal into the third heaven, which is not measured in space and time. It is in a dimension beyond anything we conceive. Taken into the third heaven, which is also called paradise. And this is what happened to him when he got there. It says, I heard, I'll just say it's Paul. We'll just use that first person. I heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Let me read it to you from another translation. I know that this person was snatched away to paradise where he heard things that can't be expressed in words, things that humans cannot put into words. One other translation. He was taken up into paradise, and words came to his ears which may not be said and which man is not able to say. Now here's the thing that caught me. I had never noticed the Bible emphasizing that this man heard words. Rather than seeing sights, he heard words. Now, in my thinking, I had always interpreted what the Bible plainly says in light of my own expectations of what a trip to heaven would be like. I would expect a man who was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, I would expect a man to come back talking about what he saw. So that's how I've always thought of it. The old gospel song says, I dreamed I went to a city called glory, so bright and so fair. As I entered the gate, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. You recognize that, don't you? If I was a singer like some of you preachers, I'd just break out and sing it. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And remember this line? And oh, the sights I saw. Now that's what I would anticipate this text to say. Oh man, I saw things. I saw things I can't describe. I saw beauty. I saw the glory of God. I saw the face of Jesus. They're too wonderful to tell about. I saw sights I can't describe. But according to this text, this trip to the third heaven was not a sightseeing tour. He said, I heard words. What's the significance of that? Does it mean anything for me as I look toward and long for heaven one day? Here's what I believe it means. I believe the point is that paradise, the third heaven, the eternal abode of God and the redeemed, paradise is above all a place of divine explanations and full understanding. Now listen, not in the sense that when we get there, God is going to be interrogated and have to answer our questions while we demand of him explanation. Not in that sense at all. But in the sense that suddenly when we get there, everything makes sense. Suddenly, everything makes sense. I don't know if the discordant nature of life bothers you or not. I don't know if you're a person like me who wants everything to make sense. But one of the greatest plagues in life to me is the imponderableness of life. The unanswered and unanswerable questions. Even while I've been here this week, I've asked questions that I cannot answer. There are no answers. I come to this campground and I think to myself, why isn't Ron Dunn still alive and here preaching? He'd only be 80 years old. Why isn't he here still preaching? Many a man is at that age. My father is 84 years old. He's still here. I'm thankful that he is. I'm not minimizing that. My dad is a deacon in a Baptist church over in East Texas. I thank God he's still with us. But if he were gone, if he had died at 65, only myself and my sister and a small handful would miss him. But Ron Dunn's absence has left the whole body of Christ mourning. He died at 65. Every time I come to these campgrounds, I say, why is Brother Ron gone? Why isn't he here still opening the Word of God and feeding us? There's no answer to that. Doesn't make sense to me. But one day it will make sense to me. You see, paradise is going to be that place where the seemingly discordant sounds of this mortal world, like the tuning of instruments, suddenly meld together into one magnificent symphony. I'm a weird redneck. I like classical music. And other kinds, but I like classical music. And for my 50th birthday, my wife and son took me to a symphony. And we got there early. I was so excited. And we sat right in the front, right by the bass violins. We sat right in the front. And if you've ever been to a symphony, I don't know the specific number of instruments in that symphony. It was a San Antonio symphony. I don't know how many instruments were represented. But all of them were there, dressed in their finery, their instruments in hand. And if you've been to a symphony or know anything about it, you know that before the concert begins, everyone's tuning, everyone's warming up. They're doing all kinds of crazy and chaotic things. It's just noise. It's bedlam. We sat there for probably 30 minutes listening to all of that noise, that confusion. And then at a certain point, the first chair violin stood. And when he stood, silence reigned. And he waved his instrument in the air. He waved the bow of his violin in the air. And all of a sudden, all of those instruments that moments before had just been doing their everything seeming chaotic, the most incredible sound came forth that made perfect sense, perfect harmony. Here's what I believe this is saying. I believe the man of God is saying, the Lord gave me a little pre-rapture trip to heaven. And what I've come back to say is this. It may seem like noise and nonsense now, but one day the symphony's going to play. And brother, it's all going to fall into place. I heard words. I can't tell you what they say. We don't have language for it. But I heard words, and I just want to tell you, it is going to make sense one day. Maybe that doesn't help you like it does me, but I need things to make sense. I heard something. It sounds now like noise from Earth's perspective, but one day it's going to transcend in my understanding into what it always has been, perfect wisdom and impeccable goodness. But listen, we're going to have to take this by faith until we each one personally are snatched away to paradise, because for now, these things cannot be expressed in words. Human language cannot capture what shall finally be revealed to us there, for the simple reason that human understanding lacks the perspective of the third heaven, and human vocabulary lacks the language necessary to communicate it at the moment. You know what I found as I get older? Fighting the good fight of faith for me is more and more the fight to keep believing in the face of so much that is perplexing and inexplicable in this life. And the older I get, the more intense the fight becomes. It's not getting easier. It's getting harder. When I was younger and healthier, when I was full of vigor, and I had easy answers to every question, life seemed so simple and so predictable. But as I've traveled a few more miles and lived a few more years, I've come to see that there are many imponderables about the Christian life that cannot be resolved simply by pulling a promise verse out of the hat and slapping a hallelujah on the situation. Life in this fallen world is war, and is always true in war. It's full of noise. It's full of confusion. It is brutal, and the casualties are many. Questions go unanswered because they're simply unanswerable, and sometimes events unfold that call into question the validity of some of the very promises of the Word of God. That's part of the life context for what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we know that if our house on earth, this of the body were dissolved, yet we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. On this account we groan and wish to be clothed with our house from heaven. If indeed when clothed we shall not be found naked, for while we are here in this house, we groan under its burden. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Apostle Paul wrote, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting adoption, the redemption of our body. And this was quoted today by Brother Philip, for we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he also hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. I'm hoping for something that I'm not yet seeing, but I have every expectation that one day I'll experience it. I'm going to hear words one day. Now, there are going to be sights to be seen when we get to glory, no doubt about it. Certainly that's true. Beauty, colors, the sounds of music, voices singing. But he said not. He did not say, when I got to the third heaven and got to paradise, I heard music so beautiful. No, he said, I heard words. He understood some things finally. Brother Luther was preaching here. I don't think it was this last conference. I think it was maybe the year before, but Nancy was with me at the conference, and Brother Luther asked a leading question in his message. He said, how many of you are prone to complain and whine? And before I could even register what he said, my wife had my arm and was lifting it for me. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. How about you confess your sins and I'll confess mine? Amen. Let's keep. But if you know me much at all, that's the gospel truth. I'm prone to whine. But the Bible says the condition of life on this mortal plane is that of groaning. This is a groaning world we live in. We can pretend it's not, but it is. But the message of our text is that one fine day, all of our moans and laments are going to turn into applause and approval. When we finally arrive in paradise and stand there in the third heaven, we begin to hear words that right now can't even be anticipated. And I believe this. I believe every believer who's ever said, Lord, how long, will on that day say, perfect timing. Perfect timing. I believe all of our oh's are going to become wow's. I believe our groans on earth are going to become glory to God when we stand on that shore. I believe the oh no's of today are going to change into the aha at the throne of heaven. I believe every why that I've ever asked is going to become, well, of course, obviously. I say again, tonight at this point, I have to take this by faith. But the hope of this text for me, I just wanted to share this simple thought. The hope of this text for me is that one glorious day, I'm going to hear words that right now can't even be translated into understandable human speech. Because at present, while traveling here below, I have no frame of reference that can contain heaven's explanation. But that does not mean there is no explanation. There is an explanation. And one day I'll have it. I've titled my message from that old song I grew up singing in church, but never even began to appreciate until recent days. Listen to this old song. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Would you say tonight that the words of the word matter? It matters that it says, I heard words. That matters. That's important. That means something. It's important to pay attention. Can you see the significance of this? There's an old song we sang. It's a contemporary Christian song. It says, "When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus." I love that song. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. But thank God, because of Jesus, there are answers. There are answers. And finally, one day, I'm going to be able to perceive these unspeakable words that now I'm not capable even of thinking. They're in a vocabulary I couldn't wrap my mind around. But what joy and rejoicing it will produce in my soul on that day. And finally, I'll be able to say with wholehearted gratitude, it really is true. He works all things for good.